Fáilte, fáilte, gá dinne, go dí an díl da bít, le me se brennan ó dafnia an seo. Tá antri náisintá ar rán a ráis rís. Listen, folks, we are back. The National League is back. And may I say, the National Leagues are back. Great to see it. Joe, quick turnover there. We were jumping on out of seats. Tell you what. A bit of a panic to get in there after that break. I want to thank, of course, Ivan Borland with the Power Hour Plus, and of course the big guy himself, Donald Kavanagh, who I seen singing at Mass yesterday. He is a man, Joe, of many talents. We're out at Church of the Irish Martyrs saying our prayers, and Donald was there. He was providing the backing vocals. Fair play to you, Donald, my man. Folks, coming up, we have another packed show as ever this evening. We have the brilliant Kevin Cassidy. He'll be on shortly with a man, the sports editor with The Sun, another great Donegal man, Jason Byrne. We're going to hear from him shortly. All things Donegal in the start of the National League, the doubleheader at Croke Park. Later on the show then, we're going to hear from one of the legends of Kerry, Seamus Moynihan, a man that doesn't do a lot of media, but had to pull in a wee favour for Seamo there. Particularly, I suppose, listen, just brilliant to chat to Seamus any time, but to tee up, I suppose, the Kerry men, the All-Ireland champions. Unfortunately, I'm calling them that, coming up the road to Ballyshannon, so it'll be interesting to get Seamo's views on that. And of course, at the minute, the way Kerry are lording it, winning titles all round the place. Every cup seems to be going to the kingdom at the minute. From the weekend, a couple of brilliant performances, say, for our teams back in, our hurlers, Mickey McCann's side there, brilliant second half in the start of their Division 3 title, looking to bounce back up to Division 2. It's hard to believe, you know, hurling like Donegal, mixing it with the teams in Division 2, but they did it well last year, and I'm sure Mickey is keen to get back up there and away from home. Beating Tyrone, who's one of their big rivals, obviously went up with them the year before in the division, putting 3.23 past them as well. We'll have some words from Mickey later on in the show. In many ways, the ladies, similar, James Daly's side with a brilliant second half performance to beat Westmeath to get their league off to a cracking start, away to Monaghan next. We'll get a few words from James as well. Well done to St. Junan's College. Another brilliant victory for them, taking them into the McLarnon final. Well done to Peter Devine. Of course, David O'Hurley's in there, Brian Devereux as well. Lads doing brilliant work there. A huge game coming up in 2 weeks. Disappointment for Abbey VS. Very unlucky now in extra time, going out in the McCrory Cup semi-final. Real tough one. Very, very talented St Patrick's Academy side there, and not much in it in the end, going the extra time. But heartbreak for this Abbey team, of course, backed by a lot of this Four Masters crew that's coming through, playing some unreal football. St Noel's and a few other men in there, of course, Steve Breed. And folks, as I said at the top of the show, we're going to hear from the get-go. Our first piece is with two Donegal stalwarts, one on the pitch and one with the pen, Kevin Cassidy and Jason Byrne. He's there, lads.
Hi, Davey.
All right, Davey. All right, Kev.
Hi, just how are you?
But lads, have you warmed up from Saturday night?
Reason.
Or Saturday. Hi, Cass,
I'd say Cass could warmed up yesterday when he was watching Celtic, like me.
I was too warm.
Let's chat about Celtic. We'll go off topic here completely. Here, lads, we can't now be wimps, but I'll tell you what, when you're up there and that rain is swirling in, poor Oisin had to put the gear underneath the bench. Brendan was out Kilcoyne for the first game, my mal, and I obviously doing bits and pieces. I really wanted to watch that first game, but I found myself kind of retreating into the wee press area where the soup and sandwiches was, and watching it on TV.
We literally drank the soup, Brendan, didn't we? We literally drank the soup. We had no choice. The laptop was absolutely drenched.
Yes.
Cass, you were probably down pitch side with you, but I'm sure it was worse. But up high, it was desperate.
It's cold up there the best of times, but I wasn't up there. I was down for the whole games, but the two games, but the boys were telling me it was freezing up there. I seen the V for a soup. That was me warming up for the third time, I think.
Yes, yes. Cass, you're looking sideways here on us now, yeah? You want to swing yourself around? There you are now, kid. I'm seeing you better now. I've never seen you sideways before. Hey, Jason, come listen. Let's call a spade a spade. A lot of people looking in. You know, there are people that are looking at different sides to Donegal's play and the winning. And let's just talk about, I suppose, our neighbours first, even before we get to Derry. Tyrone, you know, 14 man Kildare could have very easily beaten them. Took a draw, though they did late opportunity to win it. And Derry, of course, beaten by Meath. So whatever happens, Jason, we were coming down the road with a victory at HQ.
Yeah, exactly. To be like, you know, round one's always a bit of a lottery. I found, Donegal already kind of set out their stall in the McKenna Cup in terms of a lot of experienced faces, but a lot of the new faces as well. And, you know, no man better than Shane Malone. Prime example of that by sticking the ball in the net in the first half. Very well taken goal. And Donegal were just brilliant for large parts. Like, you know, they did go back into that defensive shell for most of the second half that allowed Dublin to get into the game. But Dublin were always going to get into the game at some stage. They got 8 points off the bench, which is massive. And I think Dublin only won 6 out of 15 of their own kickouts in the first half too. And they really brushed up on that. And they pushed harder about on Gavin Mulroney's restarts as well. So just to mention him too, it was a good night for him overall as well. Made a couple of big saves. Kicked a couple of 2-point frees in the first half when that wind was howling as well. A couple of difficult kicks. Like, I know he missed one as well. But I thought it was a good night for him overall, given that Sean Patton's going to be back breathing down his neck at some stage too. So, look, to go down there and get the win in the first night when there was a lot of kind of excitement and anticipation to see what Dublin would bring as well, very much a new-look Dublin team, as we know. But 2 points down there is 2 points, and, you know, they'll be delighted to come back up the road with Kerry coming to Ballyshannon this weekend, you know.
Yeah, 100%. Kevin, just on that, you know, the points that Jason's making there, Donegal first half looked very good. Mulroney, you say, place kicking is unreal. Like, it's a brave weapon they have, and he has that lovely left foot dink into the corner, but we seem to get the short away. Now, that short's dangerous, Kevin, but at times too, if a player ends up flat footed. But what did you think of, like, Dublin were trying energy press us? It's a dangerous one if you get around it, but for us, we were also pushing out, particularly first half. We dropped in the old, I think, old ways of playing second half, maybe with a bit of a lead, but there definitely was obviously a different tactic from Donegal on the night. So certainly after the Ireland final, we're saying, right, we'll need to play it a bit different this year.
I think so. And even maybe the McKenna Cup game sort of showed that as well, Davey, a wee bit, that maybe we're a wee bit more aggressive in terms of pushing out further and tackling and the 1v1 situations and stuff, you know. I think it's key, lads, because obviously didn't work out last year in the final, and you know, you need to learn from those things and develop, because, you know, teams, obviously, the big teams know what you're bringing. So if you can kind of change it up like we did on Saturday night a couple of times, it gives them more to think about. But the likes of Mulroney on the kickouts and even on the opposition kickouts, I thought we were brilliant. I think that's where the game was won. We dismantled Dublin in the first half. They couldn't get a short away. They couldn't get a long. You know, we're picking up the break balls. So definitely that's the one area that I took away from it on Saturday night, that, you know, there's massive, massive energy in that middle sector.
Yeah, the kickout's massive now. And Mosey, you know, you're Jared Brennan, first game in, of course, you know, he's obviously going to be given plenty of time to build it. You really get the sense now, like when Desi Farrell took over, you really felt it was always Gavin's team and they were always looking back to it and this player and that player. I don't think Desi got any credit for any victories he got, even the All-Irelands. But I think now we're really looking at, you know, Jared Brennan be given time to build a new team in terms of how they're doing. And at half-time, up in the press area, like, and I think a lot of people probably thought because of Donegal's play in the first half, the chance to be created, we missed a lot of them due to the breeze. A lot of people thinking we were going to actually run away with it, but we've seen something very different. Is that a thing about the National League, I suppose, Jason, that at half time there might have been a few harsh words in there? Dublin obviously brought on subs that were very impactful. I know you mentioned Brannock there, the 5 points in the second half, but Dublin maybe came out with a spurt. We looked like we came out kind of looking to control the game, and they came at us, and it got very dangerous for me in terms of the comeback that they mounted.
Yeah, definitely, Brendan. Like, you know, in the first half, Dublin had the wind and they only got 2 scores from play. One of those was that great 2-pointer from Conor Callan at the start, and the other one was from Nathan Doran, who's one of those players who expect to really kick on now, given that John Small's retired and there's a big void there at number 6. I thought he did very well. But like the fact that Dublin got it back, they got 4 points in a row between the 55th and the 65th minute. Donegal didn't score in that time frame at all. Nick did a massive impact off the bench, let's be fair. Like, you know, he probably was harsh words down there, lads. Like, he made three changes at half time, like, you know, which I thought he'd make one or two, but I didn't think he'd make three. Luke Brannock was excellent, as you said, 5 points in play inside those 35 minutes was huge as well. And you're right about Donegal as well. Like, he did, like, Jim did go back into that kind of zonal defensive shape just to try and kind of see the game out. And it did look hairy enough at times as well when Dublin were pressing. Donegal were probably glad to hear the hooter by the time it came around. But, you know, I didn't think Dublin would make it as uncomfortable for Donegal as they did in those fine exchanges. And, you know, there was a couple of questions asked there as well. But, yeah, like, Dublin will be looking for a massive performance now on the back of that second half when they're going up to Mayo this week. I'll probably go up to that game and cover it. It should be a cracker, like.
Yeah,
But, like, you know, people are saying it's a new Dublin team, but, like, if you look at the forward line, it's still more of the same. You had Brian Howard, Niall Scully, Cillian McGinness, who made a big impact in the league last year, Conor Callaghan, and you've got Cormac Costello looking back in there as well. Like, so that's still a very formidable forward line. It's more in the defence where they're big in transition. Like, Owen Merchant is probably the most household name there, along with Davey Byrne and
are they a bit
Barrett and
small, Jason?
James.
Are they a bit small as a side, do you think?
Compared to Donegal, they looked a bit small because,
Yeah.
like, when you think about it, like, Michael Langan, Jason McGee, and Hugh McFadden were all on the pitch together starting. Like, when's the last time that's happened? It's been a couple of years anyway.
Another
McGee was
message,
obviously in there.
another message here about where we. Okay, I don't want to keep going back to the Ireland final, but certainly, you know, in that first half, and as Kevin talked about, the way we kick out is the, you know, primary possession is the one, and the main place that
Yeah.
is in the kick out.
Exactly. Like, and I thought Donegal's size really told there as well. Big Caelan too in his 100th appearance, getting a point, and he set up the goal.
Yeah.
So, like, his forward play was huge as well, and it's not something we always see from him. So that was a big plus too. And Finbar starting at cornerback got a score or two. So, like, the attacking play from deep is going to be another massive part of Donegal's game as well. And Kev's own club mate Dara pitching in, he had 3 points on the board in the space of a minute, I think, from two kicks. So, and he was always looking for the ball at the edge of that arc, like, as he always is. And he's just such a threat, you know. And Cass knows all about that more than anyone.
Yeah, he does indeed. That's Cass's marking him for years, has sharpened him up that bit. You know, I'd say there was a few battles. There was a few battles. Cass, tell me this. I'm just thinking about Jason was on a bit different. That passage of play between 55 and 65. There was the two quick fire scores that Dublin got. We were on the rack. It was back to 4 points, if you remember this. It was about 8 minutes to go, and Dublin won the kick out again. And they came across our D, and it was a bad pass. And we ended up with a pitch. Remember, Conor Donnell got that free, which was a bit dubious, I think, but we needed that. Just at that point, even if they had come back to three then, there was about 7, 8 minutes to go. I felt that was a real pivotal moment in that game where we went five up, and you thought, right, you know, we'll take it from here. But if they had scored there back to three, you know, there was a lot of heat coming on us at that point.
Yeah, definitely to be. And, you know, I didn't. I know Dublin are always going to be difficult with Croke Park and what have you, but from what I've seen in the first half, and even looking through their substitutes, I was chatting to Coleman Goggins, and we were two of us were saying, like, there's nothing that Dublin can do here, you know. But in fairness to them, they did. Jerry made three changes, and they definitely came back in them. What I was worried about, Davy, is they really went for, like, they were going for them. We fist pass inside, they were trying to create the goal chances as much as they could, you know, and they did look dangerous. But, like, to be honest, like, any time it did get close, you always felt that Donegal had enough to pull away.
Yeah.
In terms of the quality that we had on the pitch, and in terms of maybe all the changes that they had to make and stuff. So, listen, you spoke there about Gerard Brennan, and he's got a massive job on his hands because I think he looked at 170 players. So that just tells you that they're just in complete transition. And heading to Mayo next weekend won't be an easy one either.
Yeah, definitely. But listen, Mosey, he has great backup. You know, you think of Dean Rock in there, Bastic, Cluxton. I mean, when you look around the dressing room, sometimes you see people at that level. You know, Jerry's obviously, what, 68 years since Louth won a Leinster. You know, he was the pick for the team. That's why I'm saying, Mosey, I think he'll be given time to, as Kevin was saying, they're a huge draw now to build a new Dublin team. So, you know, you've probably seen a bit of it the last night, but maybe the worst time for us to be playing them.
Yeah, exactly. It was a great time for Donegal to play them, in fairness, but there definitely does seem to be a massive transition period as well. And I thought it was like he was always going to bring Niall Moyna with him as well. Niall was in there before and was winning with him, and now then he'll just bring that kind of cool, calm, calculated outside voice that he brought to Louth and all those great DCU teams that he was involved with over the years as well. But like, it's funny, like the Dublin players past and present are very bullish that the success will come back, and it will come back soon under Gerr. We were talking to Greg McEnany last week at a gig up in Dublin, and he was saying that it's time for this group to make their own history, and that, you know, the Jim Gavin era is gone. And, you know, when they won six All-Irelands in a row and they came back for that kind of last dance title in 2023.
Yeah.
And I was talking to John Small on the phone this morning too for another piece, and he was saying the exact same thing. Like, obviously his brother Paddy's still a big part of it there, and like, John just stepped away there in October, and he's confident that this group can deliver success again under Gerr and bringing All-Ireland back, you know, after another 2 years away. So they're very keen to kind of move on from the glory days that they had under Gavin and build their own dynasty now, but it's definitely going to take time. Like, there's so many new faces in there. It was a harsh reality check, maybe for the likes of Robert Shaw and Owen Kennedy there, wing back. And
yeah,
I think they really missed Patrick Coffey-Byrne in the middle there as well. And Kieran Kilkenny was out too. And they done their best to get Brian Fenton back, and it didn't work. And I'd say Gerr Brennan's really kind of regretting that. But, you know, you have to move on with what you have as well, don't you?
Yeah, I would say there was some reach out. That must have been a difficult one, because if you're tight with a boy, me ringing Cass there, get back in here, he would find it hard to... hard to say no. Cass, just plus points from her own, you know, big one, I suppose, just fit. Jason McGee been back, been fit, you know, scoring his absolute brilliance in there. I thought Ryan McHugh first half, in terms of when we needed somebody to kind of drop the shoulder and get us out, because that press is dangerous. A couple of times he took the ball flat footed, and there's, I was looking ahead thinking there's no movement, we're in trouble here. So Ryan gets the ball, drops the shoulder, plays a pass, just gets us out. As I say, Mulroney's kicks, Finbar looked on again, Darrell Boyle, of course, Langan. You know, you'd have to say, of course, as well, that the goal that was made, Shane Malone, which we didn't think was going to be vital at the time, Kevin, because we were so in control, but that goal was huge. So they were the big plus points for me coming out of Croke Park Saturday.
Yeah, I suppose when we looked at McKenna Cup, a lot of the talk was about, you know, the good young lads that have come into the panel. You mentioned Shane Malone there, and, you know, he's had a cracking few games, and you've seen, you know, the young Torlacara I thought was brilliant in the McKenna Cup, you know. So we're all talking about the lads who are coming in. But for me, I think that having Jason McGee and Langan fully fit at the minute, which we didn't have last year, when you think about it, those, you know, periods where they're in and out of the team. Hugh McFadden's, you know, two massive games the last 2 weeks. Those players are key, and to have them all, you know, going well this early on and not suffering from any injuries is a massive plus for me, Devine. And obviously you throw on the likes of Finbar and Darrell Boyle and Ryan McHugh and them, and, you know, Conor O'Donnell I thought was excellent as well, this weekend. Yeah. So listen, everything's looking really well at the minute. It's just, you know, keeping all those boys on the pitch.
Yeah, I love Conor's point. I think it was the second point he got in the first half, where he checked his left a couple of times. It looked like he'd gone too far, and he still wrapped a foot around it. I thought that was a real confidence score, where he was like, here, I'm going to do what I'm going to do on the left juker here. You're not going to stop me. Massive stuff. And Jason, you know, again, we're just going through the teams. It's very positive. I'm just saying, looking across to our neighbours here, it's, you know, sometimes, like, we're obviously Donegal wants to get back. As somebody said to me last week, there's only one place for us to go now. It's 1-0 Ireland. But listen, the base that we're building now with these young players and that, but certainly, as I say, looking across their neighbours, it was a very healthy start versus Derry Tyrone.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Like, and, you know, like, it even strikes us about the Donegal team even more than last year now, the kind of the healthy mix of youth and experience, like as the names Cass mentioned there in terms of fellas coming through. The fact that we're finding more and more of these lads all the time is unbelievable. Like, you know, it feels like Finbar, he's been around forever and it's only his second season, do you know what I mean? Because he just plays with that confidence in the band, like, and Kieran Moore's into his third season now, and he seems to have really gone after the S&C even more as well. Like, I couldn't get over how big he got. Like, and you mentioned Huey there too, he's still in great shape. Like, he actually turned 32 on Saturday, and he nearly got the perfect birthday present just before half time when that ball fell to him, but it just came off the post. So I'll be slagging him about that one. But yeah, like, you know, Derry just can't seem to buy a win. Like, I was talking to Mal McMullen earlier, and they just need to get that first win And it's a massive game. It's a massive game up there on Saturday. Like, that'll be an absolute humdinger. But I actually fancy Derry to turn them over. When I saw the Derry team on Saturday that was heading to Croke Park, I fancied them to turn me over. But again, it's just the kind of something. There's something about round one that, you know, there can be some results that you maybe aren't expecting. But yeah, Meath were full value for the win as well, even though, like, they got to the semi-final last year. They still have massive injuries too, you know, and there's something about these teams under Robbie Brennan, they just never die, and that Meath team will have a massive say. I think their first target this year will be a Leinster Championship, but I think come the summer, we'll be looking at a very different Derry outfit that Kieran Meaney's back on board as well.
Yeah.
But I think they'll get that first win this weekend. That something tells me that they're just going to turn Tyrone over, especially after what we saw in Omagh, like a Kildare team going down there, not giving much hope, putting them right to the pin of their collar and getting a draw in a game that they could have won as well.
That's right. And, you know, Kildare obviously in the bounce back. Tell me, Kevin, this game now, Seamus Moynihan's coming on after. It's just a league game, right? I mean, I know people hype it up a wee bit. Obviously, it's a repeat of the Ireland final and that, but it's 2 points. That's basically it. You know, we don't want to downplay it. I'm really fascinated to see it. But it's very much a game that's just about what happens in Ballyshannon, right?
Yeah, it is. To be honest, I think, you know, carry yourself. I think this will mean more to us than it will to them. You might even see them resting a few of their lads this week. They might give them a rest, the older kind of lads, your Cliffords and your Shays and that, to be honest, because I think it's one that Jim will go after. I think it's one that he'll have spoken about as soon as the fixtures came out, and I think it's one that the lads will be targeting. So I expect a big shift from us on at the weekend, and, you know, just be interesting to see what Kerry brings. But one lad I'm hoping he plays is the young lad, TK, is it, what do you call him?
Thomas Kennedy. Thomas Kennedy, yeah.
He looks like a monster. So I'm looking forward to seeing him in the flesh.
Yeah, it should be an interesting game. Mosey, you'll head towards Mayo, will you, though?
Yeah, I'm heading for Castlebar, all right. Just purely from logistics point of view, I'd love to be heading up to Ballyshannon, but, you know, just that Kevin mentioned Tomás Kennedy there, like, he's another fellow who looks like a real find. And there's a great opportunity for some of these lads in Kerry now, especially given that the Dingle boys and the Gaeltacht lads are still all celebrating their club All-Irelands. Kennedy took his goal brilliantly against Roscommon yesterday, even though he was probably in the square when it came in. But he held off his man and produced a cracking finish. And then there was the controversy over the winning score at the end with the hooter. It did look like it just left his paw when it went over the bar, but it was still a brilliant score. Like, yeah. And then that man Clifford, what did he get? 1-7, 1-9 or something? Standard for him now these days. But I was reading the quotes from Jack O'Connor afterwards. He was building Donegal up already. He says, oh, they have way more work done than us and all that there. But I think Kerry had their team holiday done and dusted before the Donegal one. So you can always take what he says with a bit of a pinch of salt. But
no worries,
it should be a cracker.
Mosey, tell me, we're going under the grounds. Obviously, there was protests all around certain grounds about the Drop Alliance campaign. I know we spoke about it on News Talk. On Saturday, you know, there was quite a big presence, particularly the likes of Down and Tyrone and that as well. There's talk of more this week.
Yeah, it's not going away, Brendan, in fairness. It's just not going away. In fairness, like, when I was watching League Sunday last night, Joanne Cantwell did very well to broach the subject. I don't think any viewers were kind of expecting that, but she kind of read her piece in that.
It sounded like she was kind of saying she cared, you know, like most
of us.
Yeah, you
know? It did seem to suggest that way. And, you know, I've done a bit of digging into it myself today, and apparently there were many people within RT Sport who were concerned about the fact that the League Sunday is still called Alliance League Sunday, but they're contractually obliged to still carry the name. But if anyone actually saw the programme last night, the Alliance branding wasn't present for any pre- or post-match interviews. It seemed to be very kind of scaled back. And I know some supporters even removed some of the advertising hoarding from behind the goals at each end at Healy Park as well. So, like, this isn't going away. As you raised the points very validly, brilliantly yourself on TV last week, Brendan, that, you know, there are other companies out there that the GA should have made more of an effort to look at and approach as possible replacements for Alliance, who are sadly funding a genocide. And I didn't like the way they released the statement a few days before Christmas as well. You know, they were kind of hoping for it to be buried, and they didn't release the full report either. And, you know, they seem to be trying to do their best to maybe block it from coming before Congress. next month as well, which isn't a good thing and not the way the GA should be operating. But we'll see what the next few weeks bring. But the protests and the dissent isn't going to stop. And it seemed to be more prevalent in Ulster, which is a good thing and a bad thing. I was disappointed to see maybe a few more grounds dotted around the country that, you know, the opposition to this didn't seem to be as prevalent. But, you know, people who are against it, the likes of myself personally and yourself, Brendan, you know, just have to keep maybe, you know, voicing our dissent to this. And Jarlett Burns knows this. Like, we've both been speaking to him about the topic, Brendan, about how we feel. And, you know, at the end of the day, there's a lot of opposition to this within the association. So it is a tricky one for the GA. They're an amateur organisation at the end of the day. I do understand that severing those links is a very delicate, long, maybe costly process. But I think, you know, more consideration should have been done to move on from Alliance.
Yeah, good man, Jason. Listen, if you want to know what I feel about it, check my Facebook or RTE Player Prime Time, and you'll be left no doubt what I think. Jason, as ever, thanks very much. Jason Byrne there, sports editor with The Sun. And the Donegal legend, the stalwart himself, Kevin Cass, lads. Thanks for wrapping that up. I'll be speaking to you as the season goes on, maybe at warmer venues around the country. And listen,
thanks, lads.
Keep doing your thing, lads. Thanks very much. After the break, okay, thanks to the two lads. After the break, we're going to hear from Kerry legend Seamus Moynihan. Welcome back, folks. Seamus Moynihan is just getting organised there, and we're going to hear first from hurling boss Mickey McCann after a side. Very impressive, a victory away to Tyrone, 3-23-1-18.
Mickey, a strong start to the new campaign. 11 points the margin in the end. You must be delighted with the way that your men were working, were moving out there.
Yes, I thought we played well for a good bit of the match. You know, we had a good start to the game. You know, 4 or 5 up in Tyrone, had a good purple patch. You know, and brought back the level one time, and we pushed out to 3 again. So look, we're happy enough at half time. We probably conceded the goal the bad time we weren't happy with, but very pleasing second half. You know, very pleasing second half, and score 3-23 in January, you'd be very happy. So look, I think all teams maybe didn't get a lot of friendlies this year and stuff. We're a bit worried where we're at, so it's nice to get that one under the belt, you know, and good start to the league for us.
Well, you needed to step it up a second half because Tyrone came back strong, went level early in that second half, and you needed another goal really to get yourself steadied.
Yeah, we did, and I suppose like Tyrone hit the first 3 points of the second half to go level, as you say, and it was 1-14 apiece, and very important we get the next two scores, we did, and then we got a goal after that. Look, we emptied the bench there and fresh legs went in, and it made a big difference. The work rate in their forwards up, the fresh legs went in, put a lot of pressure on Tyrone's fence coming out, and we turned them over a few times and got a couple of vital scores.
Jared Gilmore, as usual, a great source of scores for you. I think 12 points from in total, a great asset to have. And you had Liam McKinney and Conor Gartland were really dominating there around the middle, and a creative input there from Peter Kelly, and a lot of other good performances as well.
Yeah, look, Liam and Jerry and Conor, three good players, and Jerry's always on the scoreboard for us, you know, very accurate from frees. He missed one or two, and you know, he sets high standards for himself, and he'd be trying to fix that. Liam, the same, very, very accurate, you know, we try our best to get them all on the ball as much as possible. Connor picked up a wee injury in the first half, didn't come out again for the second, so hopefully it's not serious. And you say Peter Kelly is very good. Thought John Keeley for a 18, 19 year old was brilliant for us, you know, first start in the league, and thought he set the tone up front and worked really hard for us too.
So a good solid start to the season. So what's the target for the year ahead, Mickey?
I suppose the target is probably is trying to get into the promotion place again, you know, and back up Division 2, although it's a tough place to be. But if you want to improve, you have to try back up there. Ourself and Tyrone had a spell in it last year, you know, and it was really tough. But if you wanted to move things forward, promotion is what we're looking for.
No better man to move it forward than Mickey McCann. Fair play to Mickey and the lads here. Another brilliant victory for them. Now I'm delighted to say I'm joined by a man. Now certain players, it doesn't matter where they're from, you just gotta love their skills, love how they play the game. One of them is Seamus Moynihan, and he's on the line now. Seamo, how are you, lad?
As I said, you get me burned in.
Oh, you there now, Seamo?
How's it going, my man? How
yes.
are you? Sorry about that.
Hey, Seamo, I was just saying to Joe Dex here, he's producing beside me. It's happened to me a few times because some different podcasts that you do will use different types of apps. So you run up last minute upstairs out of the way, La Quiet, you go to put it on and it starts to load in the truck.
That's what actually happened. I was running late myself, and it just it took a while for it to download, so my apologies on that for
not me. At all. Seamo, I was just saying that, listen, I have the pleasure of playing with you for Ireland a couple of times, you go on tour, and you're one of those players, Seamus, because of your skills and the way you played the game, everybody had such time for you. You had such a fascinating career with Kerry and with East Kerry and the club. From Shrondara, is that the home place?
Shrondrock, but our club would be Glenfless then,
You had 14 years, you know, four All Irelands, three All Stars, and talks about a host of monsters and national leagues. And as I said, Seamus, you had some time of it.
I suppose it feels like a long time ago again now, Brendan, looking back at it. I finished in 2006, and like, you know, it's nearly 20 years now since I retired, so years of fly. But, you know, I suppose when you are there, it's fantastic to get, when you have the opportunity to play inter-county football. And get it, like, I played 14 years with Kerry, and it was a great time. No, we had great days, and we also had very, very bad days out in the office as well. And look, but that's part of sport. But look, I suppose we went to Australia there on a few trips as well with the Aussie rules, and playing over in Australia and played in Ireland as well. And they were fantastic trips. And, you know, I suppose it gave us an opportunity to tug off with men that you were probably catching horns with throughout your career. And you see, you know, ultimately we were all the same. We all had the same DNA, and we all had the same, you know, good characters and good guys. Only we were from different counties, but it was fantastic. I suppose that for those 3 years to put on the Irish jersey and play together and take on Australia at that time, like, you know.
Yeah, almighty memories. Seamus, you know, obviously going on tour, staying on tour, but there was a big night we had when we beat the Aussies in the MCG. We were in this bar, the Spy Lounge. So when I came back, I put a small, let's call it an entertainment room, on the side of my house, and it's named the Spy Lounge from that night that we went partying hard in there. See, when you think about, you know, the way, like, you know, nights out and all that, we lads, and there you are on tour, and, you know, having a great night, you have a game the next week, and sure, by the next day's training, you're tip-top again, you know. So I think sometimes when you think about how serious things has gotten, you think, right, God, are lads allowed to enjoy themselves a bit at all now?
Yeah, it's you know, it might be gone a little bit over the top, and you know, I suppose back in our time, even definitely for the Aussie rules, you know, in fairness, we did train very hard, and I suppose for the few weeks that we were there, we were training as if you were a professional, like, and you were, I suppose, ultimately, Brendan, you were getting great rest in within the days as well, and you had physios there, and you were getting treatment, and you could go to the spa and the you know, into the saunas and jacuzzis, and you were stretching. So, like, you weren't going, if you were a labourer or self-employed, or if you were working in an office, at least, you know, all that was gone. You were fully committed and to the training, and we were, you know, to be fair, we did train hard, but we also played hard off the field when we got the opportunity. But to be fair to all the managers that we had, you know, Colm O'Rourke and Brian and the lads, they treated us like adults, and they knew it was here that they were going to train hard, we were going to give it everything in the games, but they also gave us the leeway to go and have a bit of downtime as well. And, you know, which we obviously did, even the weekends before the games, or after the first game, we had one or two good days. But then it was back down to brass tacks again on the Sunday and Monday for another 4 or 5 days of kind of quality training to get ready for the following weekend. But no, great memories, Brendan. And, you know, we made great friends out of it. And, you know, but as I said, maybe at this stage, it is gone a little bit OTT in terms of the commitment. And there's, you know, there's a certain burnout on it, and how long players can sustain that kind of you know, training, and will players go 10 or 14 years and, you know, playing. I'm not sure if that's the case. Now look, you look at Mike Murphy and what a career that guy's had, and he's coming back for more, and, you know, so it can be done, but it's certainly a huge commitment at the minute, Brendan.
If we had the Murphy genes, I'll tell you what, if we could harness that, Seamus, you know, he's down to head and shoulders. You know, Seamus, you know, funny, at the after the Ireland final this year, I was licking my wounds, and I ran into your guys. You were having it was a 25-year team or 20-year team?
Yeah, the 2000 team, Brendan, yeah.
25-year team. And you know what a great bunch of lads. You know, Fitzmaurice was there, and yourself, and Mike Frank, and just amazing to be in the middle of yous, because we were drowning our sorrows a bit, but when I ran into yous lads, like, we had such a crack there, of course, where else but in Coppers. But it was great to catch up with yous all, and just some absolute legends of the game. I suppose that's the side of it now, Seamo, you've seen so many changes. You started playing 1992, of course, the famous 92 for us. Whenever, you know, tactics started to get more and more, did you think then, Seamo, as you finished and we got into, you know, the real deep blanket that the game was choked to death there, you know? And I was kind of thinking next season before you come on about whenever the rules change come in and you think about, you know, the Cliffords, particularly David and the two-pointer, he must have been thinking to himself, you're in trouble now, boys, because a two-pointer to your David is not a difficult score. And he must be thinking, you're in baller now, as he proved against Roscommon yesterday.
Yeah, look, I think the game needed a Brendan. The, you know, look, for me, I think the watershed game was Kerry Derry in a quarter final in 2024, and
yeah.
it'd been easier to watch paint dry. To be fair, it was just a shocking game, and you know, it's just it was such a low scoring game, and both teams just set out and they set out their stalls, and it was just a defensive game, and both teams were just kind of waiting for one team just to make an error, like. But it was just hard watching, and I think, you know, in fairness to the committee and Jim Gavin and the boys, they did a really good job. And I thought football last year was excellent throughout the Munster. All the provincial competitions were excellent, and the All-Ireland, you know, the football was definitely more exciting. And I think, you know, Brendan, you were an elusive corner forward yourself, and like, I think the day of that elusive corner forward was gone, because they were just being stifled, and they weren't getting the opportunity to show their array of skills of kicking ball over the bar. And I think that's what people, you know, the majority of GA supporters want to go and see great scores and see great one-on-one battles as well inside. And you look, it's back again. You looked at over the weekend, I think, you know, I was at the Kerry Roscommon game yesterday, and you know, the Roscommon corner forward line did wreck. I think they got something like 115 or 116 from their three inside players, like, you know, and Kerry got something like 212 from their three guys inside. So it's now again, it's back where good forwards are getting rewarded, because they're getting that bit of space and they're getting that opportunity to take on their man on a 1v1 and get their score, so, which is great. No, not ideal for the backs, and I was on many a time where you'd get scalded inside. But look, for the general punter going to the game, it's a far more exciting game when you look at Donegal and Dublin, one was at 120-20 points, like, you know, and Kerry 218 to 120, like, that's great. It was great entertainment for the first day out in the National League in January, like, you know, it's great to see such high scoring games and such excitement as well, like, you know.
Yeah, that's, I totally agree. Seamo, the morning going to games, in the end, I kind of was going for the people and the experience of it. And the game, of course, because it was so negative, would be exciting at the very end, because it could come down to 12-10 or something, or 12-11, that final score. So that final possession, there was so much tension attached to that, but really we were scraping the bottom of the barrel in terms of what the game was supposed to be about, you know, in terms of teams going and actually expressing themselves, winning the skills of the game. But you're very interesting here. Paddy Talley left for Derry. He was offered 3 years, you know, he got 8 months, which was very tough on him. He left Derry, but of course you brought in Cian O'Neill, who'd been with Galway, and Galway were knocking on the door with all Ireland, you know. Obviously a lot been made of that last year, you know. Jack, you know, being wise enough to change his background team, or add to his background team. Donaghy comes in this year, so certainly it's not a case of Kerry are sitting on what they have. And of course, as I said from yesterday, Tomás Kennedy looks a real player as well. I know it's a first game in the net, but listen, Kerry won't be standing still. Everybody's trying to play catch up, but I presume your guys are looking to get better at what they're doing.
Yeah, look, I was at the game yesterday, Brendan, and you know, look, it was still a very much an experimental Kerry team. When you, I think maybe 5 or 6 of the fellas that started in the All-Ireland played, like, you know. But you know, but from a Kerry point of view, that I think Jack is doing the right thing, and he's giving you know, he's blooding in new guys and giving guys that were kind of on the fringes, the likes of the Evan Looney's and you know, Armin Heinrich, and you know, all these guys that were on the panel last year, and Tomás Kennedy came in later in the year, and you know, he seems to have settled in really, really well, and he's still only under 20, but looks he's a fine cut of a guy and a great pair of hands, and has has huge potential, you know. So look, I think last year it definitely stood to Kerry as well, Brendan, throughout the year. Jack had you know, he had so many injuries, his hands were actually, he was forced to try out the guys like Mark O'Shea and Sean O'Brien, and they were thrown into the deep end. And you know, if someone told us in back last January that Sean O'Brien and Mark O'Shea would have been in the middle of the field in an All-Ireland final, lads would have been kind of half looking at you saying, what the hell, like, you know. But you know, they got blooded in early. They probably got a baptism of fire against the Meath against Meath and took a right knocking that day. But it was probably the best thing that ever happened to Kerry, because they got the kick in the backside that they needed, and they were able to look at themselves in the mirror and say what we needed to change and adjust and move on in. And they were into Croke Park probably on three occasions as underdogs going in from the quarter final on. So it was probably, you couldn't, if Jack wanted to right away for a the best way to go into Croke Park, that was the way, like, you know. But as I said, it allowed him to try out a couple of new guys, which was crucial. And the year before, Brendan, we got caught by Armagh. Yeah, we went in extra time, and we didn't, you know, Killian Burke ended up playing midfield in that game in extra time, and that was the first time he ever played midfield in his whole career for Kerry. So we hadn't blooded guys in 2024, but in fairness, Jack had done that this year. And as I said, it was truly, probably it was down to the fact that Kerry had so many injuries that he had no choice. But no, Kerry were, you know, had the game won twice yesterday, Brendan. They were up 7 points at Bow in the first half and in the second half, and left big lead slip. And you'd have to praise Roscommon, because they just never threw in the towel, and they kicked some great scores. Your man Darragh Craig had a fantastic game. I think he got something like 8 or 9 points in the game, and he looked threatening all the way through. And if Roscommon, probably they got one goal, they probably should have got 4 goals. They had 4 really good chances, and they didn't take them. And you know, ultimately, that's what cost them at the end.
Yeah, you had that late chance just before Kennedy's 1 or 2, which should have been blown.
Yeah,
over the
I think was the with your man Paul Carey. I think he ran through and he blew it wide. You know, it was probably a simple punch over the bar, and it would have been a great score.
Yes,
and it would have put him up a point again, like, you know, but. And the free that we got in at the end, Brendan, that could have been either.
That's it. And then the hooter. Yeah, you did feel for Roscommon, but you know, it was obviously, it would have meant so much to them. And it's interesting you mentioned last year. You know, after that, you know, Cork obviously has a couple of real battles in there, wasn't there? And then the Meath game in particular, and some ex players, not yourself, of course, you know, had a real cut at the team. And it's funny then, you know, sometimes that things can work in your favour, but. You really felt we carried in Croke Park. Seems this is the thing, you know, fast playing pitch, you can't shut it down. This is where the best of the best come to the fore, because, you know, you can't really strangle teams anymore. So what we've seen at probably Kerry in the final was a bit scary for the rest of the country, because we hadn't really seen that. I mean, even Tyrone were a lot closer to them, really, in the semi. So, you know, I suppose that's the big thing now, looking into it. It's more about, as you said earlier, it's about that arms race now. It's about having explosive players up front that can put the ball over the bar, and particularly the value of the two-pointer.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, if you look at Kerry last year, Brendan, I think, did they get 5? They get 5 two-pointers last year, which... And they won the game by 10 points.
Yes.
And, you know, huge, huge, huge two-pointers at times. Like, obviously, Davis won there just before half-time. It was a killer blow, like, to you know, as a two-pointer with the time up. And for him to stroke it over, it just gave him a massive edge going in again at half-time. But I as far as I don't think Donegal got a two-pointer last year in the All-Ireland final. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think they did.
Correct.
But I think yesterday... I think they got 5. The goalie got 2 anyway. And
right.
I think they actually got 5 two-pointers. So I would say Jim probably, if I know, and I know Jim, and I played with Jim back in the day.
That's
Trudy,
right. Trudy,
well,
that's
I can
right.
guarantee you, Jim has probably definitely looked at that and said, look, this is one area we'll have to improve on. And that's probably getting 2-pointers. And because it's such a huge score. There's no, like, a 2-pointer is as good as a goal, Brendan, like, you know. And probably no. And you look, they're still only giving 3 points for the goal, but... Is it, if you were a team now, is it worth the you know, the 3-point, 2-pointer there's a far easier one to get if you work it and get into the right area. Like, and 2 points are huge. And Rathcommon yesterday kept themselves in the game with the 2 pointers as well. Like, you know, yeah. So look, I definitely think it's an area that Donegal have looked at and they'll work on that. Like, you know, so it's all small things, and like to have a goalie that can come up and drill it from outside the arc is huge.
Yeah.
You saw Manon last year, and you know, it's a huge advantage. So your boy did very well yesterday in hitting those two ones over the bar.
Yep.
So look, it's a massive. If Donegal got those opportunities last year, you know, it could have been a totally different game as well. They just needed it. They needed to get a couple of 2 pointers. But no, it'll be very interesting. And I would say Jim will have his homework done. He'll have a few tweaks to what was probably nearly a perfect year for him.
Yeah.
And he'll just have to do a few tweaks and get a couple of new guys in. But you know, they have gone nowhere, Brendan.
Yeah. Oh, listen, that's the job that Terry Mann's talking us up. You're coming up to Ballyshannon to give us a couple of points. Jimmy, we're down to the last minute. What does this mean now? Kerry have obviously got their 2 points. You know, saying to guys, this just is a game about a game. There's nothing really that matters should they meet each other again in the championship, right? Kerry's just coming up the road. Maybe, you know, trial players and that. They'll not be overly worried about the result. Or am I wrong? Will Jack go for it?
Well, you know, look, I think they're going to be travelling up the road, Brendan, in a far better mood than they would have had if that Paul Carey guy put the ball over the bar and we lost by a point and left 2 points after us inside in Killarney, like, you know, because I would have, if I was probably knowing Jack, I'd say that he would have probably banked on the fact that they'd beat Roscommon at home and have those 2 points in the bag, and knowing that it's going to be a very, very tough task going up to Donegal to bag 2 points up in Ballyshannon. So look, they'll be going up. They've 2 points already in the bag. They'll definitely have a go, but this is going to be. It's going to be a much sterner test for them now. Next Sunday, they're playing a far better team. And if we cough up the goal opportunities that we coughed up yesterday, we're in big trouble. Big
yep.
trouble, Brendan.
Well,
you know, so look,
I'll heed that advice.
I think it will be a very, very high scoring game, both inside line. I think Kerry will have no injuries. I think Kerry will probably travel with the same team that they had out. I don't think there'll be too many changes. And you know, look, I think it'll be very high scoring game, and it could be just down to a point or two. But you know, it's great to be talking about a second league game, and you're talking about it's going to be a high scoring game and an entertaining game, because when we were playing back in the day, the league games were kind of, you were training hard in the middle of it, and you were getting a 2 week window to do a bit of work, and at times if you were trying to do catch up, you were playing and you were training hard as well. And you know, some of the games were very, very poor, but to be fair, most of the games over the weekend were very exciting.
Yeah, brilliantly exciting. Jimmy, always brilliant to catch up. Yeah, thanks so much for that wrap up the season. We'll stay in touch, my man.
Great stuff. We must go up to that. We must go up to your place for that.
The spy lounge. Live at large, stay in charge. Seamus Boyle there, you legend, right, top man. What great to catch up with Seamus there. What a legend of the game. Thank you, Seamus. We're wrapping up the show here, folks. Just at the end, I wanted to put a couple of words from James Daly after his side's brilliant victory in their opening game of the National League against Westmeath.
The first thought is get a win on the board. We knew Westmeath were a sticky team, and we knew we needed to put in a good performance. We weren't good enough in the first half by our standards, but we picked it up in the second half, and we got a comfortable enough win in the end.
You'd be happy enough for the start, though. Getting off to a good start, getting a first score on the board here as well, settling them down.
Absolutely. Getting the points up early is massive. Last year, I think we slipped up and we got a draw in the first game, but it was very, very important. First game out, get a win on the board and put the points up on the table.
Yeah, and listen, going on at half-time, I suppose you picked up, Roisin Rodgers picked up that heavy knock, and you know, it was a critical time for you, so you didn't know how it was going to go. But listen, hopefully Roisin Rodgers is okay, and you managed to look compensate by putting other players in the field, and you have that now this year. You have a good panel there.
Yeah, look, we feel this year we have a squad of 32, and we have a lot of girls there who can come on and play. And in the second half there, it showed that. We've got Abigail on just at half time. We made changes and the changes worked for us. But we have a strong bench, whether it be we need extra forward, David Gallagher coming off the bench and scoring 3 points in the last 20 minutes. If Abigail gets in, play full back and played really, really well. Yes, I think on what I've heard so far, Roisin's okay. She's gone to hospital, I think, for precaution. But like, when you lose your leader and your captain and your
Yeah, that was James Daly there. I say we're out of time on the show tonight. Well done to him. Of course, stay tuned for the excellent Monday night sessions. The boys are ready to go here behind me. Rock and roll time with the lads. Thanks to all my guests this evening. I'll chat to you next week.